بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيكم. This is our final Ramadan reflection session for the month. Most countries, it seems like Ramadan will be on Sunday, the day after tomorrow, so we're into our 30th night, tonight being the 30th night of Ramadan, بإذن الله تعالى. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to forgive us our sins and our mistakes and our remissness and our negligence, and to look past all that we have made in terms of folly, and to look upon us with His afu, with His pardon, with His mercy, and not by that which we deserve or that which we give from Him, from us to Him, but rather what He is capable of giving from Him to us, Azza wa Jal. And just as a reminder, there is still one night that remains in Ramadan. It's true, it's not an odd night, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you in one night, even if it's the last night, even if it's not Laylat al-Qadr, as He pleases. And other hadith, hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Siyam, in the Siyam Adiba Ajzibi, ila sabra min al-tidaf. Fasting is for me, and I will reward it as I see, up to 700 times. And as we've mentioned several times, 700 doesn't mean 700, it could mean many, many times over. So do avail yourself, if you can, even this last night of Ramadan. And how many are the people who, in the last night of Ramadan, received their jawais, received their gifts, received that which was always meant to come to them, in terms of understandings and openings, and perhaps a renewed sense of purpose, a renewed sense of urgency and resolve to continue after Ramadan. And that's ultimately what the purpose of Ramadan is, that we can renew our sense of purpose, renew our commitment to the teachings of this great and beautiful Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and this great religion of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And if we can do that, then we know that we've had a successful Ramadan. We've had openings. And even if we don't do that, inshallah, it's maqbool. It's accepted, and may Allah accept from all of us. So this being going into the 30th night, we will look at something of the 30th juz. And we'll be looking at Surah Al-Duha in Juz Amma, the last Juz of the Quran, which I believe corresponds to the 93rd Surah out of 114 Surahs of the Quran, beginning with Qawluhu Ta'ala, بعد عدلهم شيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. So this is an early Meccan surah, and again addressed to the Prophet ﷺ directly, as we've seen many times over. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet ﷺ, by the morning brightness, وَالضُّحَى. So this in Arabic language, it's called Waw al-Qasam. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more or less striking an oath by the morning brightness, the duha, which is a time of day. And this particular time of day is set that which lies right after sunrise until the zawal. And zawal means when the sun is at its zenith during the day, which typically signifies the beginning of Dhuhr time. So when the sun begins, when it reaches its zenith in the north, and then it begins to set or move towards the west, then that's the beginning of the Dhuhr time. So the Dhuha is that when the sun rises, and then up until when it reaches its brightest point. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a qasam, an oath by this. And we see this theme in other surahs. So we also have Wal Asr, Inna al-insana fi khusr. And the Asr, as we know, is the afternoon time. Wal Fajr, Wal Layalin Ashr. And the Fajr, which is the dawn time, so before sunrise. Wal Layli Idha Yakhsha. Right? And by the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also offers a qasam. And even in things that are not of points of time, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ, right? By the teen and the zaytun, by the fig and the olive. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can make the qasam, who can strike this oath by things other than himself, Azza wa Jal. Whereas we, the etiquette, the adab, is to only make the qasam, to make the oath or the swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the ulama said that which is ta'zim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is understood in the same vein as asserting the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so forth. So we can say, Wallahi, wa Rabbi al-Ka'ba, and so forth, making qasam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the significance here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa Rabbi al-Duha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Lord of the Duha. He is the Lord of the Layl. Right? The next verse, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Right? Saja means that there is a stillness or a sukoon of the night. Or by the night when it grows still, or the sukoon. And we've seen this theme before, the contrast between day and night in both the physical. And we also alluded to it in the metaphysical realm or in the state of the heart. So there is taharruk and haraka and striving and sa'i, which is the day of the heart of the believer. And then there's also at the same time the sukoon, right? The sukoon, which would be the stillness and the tranquility and the acceptance of the divine decree and the acceptance as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as your Lord and as your sovereign and as the one who has all dominion over everything. And so there's a sukoon in that. But at the same time, there is talab lissa'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to strive and to work and to roll up our sleeves and to seek Him and to serve Him and to serve His creatures. And these, unlike the day and night in the physical realm, they do not follow one another. They can coexist. They can go inside, within the heart of the believer. And that's really the whole point, that we have sa'i and we have striving, and at the same time we have sukoon and we have stillness and we have sakina, right? The seen, right? The letter seen in Arabic often is associated with these type of things. Sukoon, sakina. Here, wal-layli idha saja, right? Also the seen letter. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Your Lord has not forsaken you, speaking directly to the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَا قَلَى, nor does he hate you, which is how the translator translates it here. قَلَاقَ, I wouldn't translate it as hate. I would say something more like, I guess for lack of a better word, أَبْغَضَقَ is what the professor says here. قَلَاقَ, or, you know, left you alone to your own devices, so to speak, or he has not repudiated you. Maybe it was a better word, I would say, repudiate. So, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ, he has not abandoned you, he has not forsaken you. وَمَا قَلَى, and he's not repudiated you. And that's kind of an interesting thing that we find in this verse. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that statement to the Prophet ﷺ? Did he think that he was forsaken or that he was repudiated? Some of the Mufassirun, as Ibn Ajiba mentions, this goes back to there was a period of a few days, and this happened occasionally with the Prophet ﷺ. There was no wahi. And then when the mushrikun, the idolaters of Quraysh, got wind of this, they would kind of use this as a way to malign the Prophet and abuse him. And they would say, this is actually their words. They say, Rabbuka wadda'aka wa qadaka. You know, your Lord has forsaken you and he has repudiated you, and you know, as ghams and lems, right, as trying to injure the Prophet with their words. And we find this sometimes in the Quran, like also in Juz Amma, Surah Al-Kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna sha'nika huwa al-abtar. Right, so al-abtar is the one who was cut off. And they used to say, oh, Muhammad doesn't have any sons, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa abtar. Right, he's not going to leave anyone behind, huwa abtar. And then the Quran nullifies that, right, negates that, and says, inna sha'nika huwa al-abtar. The one in the sha'niyaka, your enemy, the one who says that, huwa al-abtar, he is the one who's not going to leave anything behind. Prophet ﷺ has left a legacy for billions of people, for all of humanity, until the day of judgment. How can he be abtar? Hasha, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Right? He has not forsaken you, and he has not repudiated you, but you are muhabbab, muqarram, mu'azzaz. You are loved and you are the beloved and you are the one who is made dignified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next verse, probably, arguably, one of the most beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. وَالضُّحَى وَالَّذِي إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَدَى or the one after that, عفوا وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Right, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ, here's a reminder for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Ummah that the Akhirah, the future, will be better for you than the past, الْأُولَى, or that which came first. So despite what they say and despite their rejection of Islam, of your mission, of your Risala, keep in mind, al-akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula, that the akhirah, that which will come, the aqibah, right, al-aqibatu lil-muttaqin, this is what, how all this will end, is better than al-ula, the first, really, or the, that which preceded, which is that which we are living in now. And also, khayr, better, how is it better? What does this khayr mean, this better? Better in what sense? In every sense. There's for the believers, there is no limit of how the akhirah is better than the ula. In what capacity? First of all, it is permanent, while this life is temporary. Second, everything in it is delightful and blissful. And there's no shawa'ib, right? There's nothing that will ruin an experience there. Unlike in the dunya, even in the most blissful experience, there could be something in it, what we call a sha'iba, right? Something that kind of blemishes it to some degree, right? Something about it. Not so in the akhirah, right? For us in the dunya, maybe you like sweets and pies and cheesecake and all sorts of things, and while you're eating it, it seems very blissful, but you'll pay for it later, right? There's a blemish about it, kind of difficulties with that, or gaining weight, and you know, that sort of thing. There is a blemish that comes with it, but not so in the akhirah. Even the khamar of the akhirah, لا فيها غول ولا هم ينزفون. There's no ghawl in the khamr of the akhirah. It's not inebriating, right? It's not going to put you in a state that is a state of unawareness of who you are, what you're doing, and making decisions. But there will be a type of khamr, right? A type of wine. But the wine of the hereafter is completely different than the wine of this world. So even beyond, and the Quran recognizes this, or the hadith recognizes that فِيمَا لَعِنُ اللَّهَةُ وَلَا أُذِنُ سَمَعْتُ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, something that the eye has never laid eyes upon, and something ears have never heard about, and that even you could not conjure up in your heart. So then what to make of these descriptions in the Quran of the Akhirah, لَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَغُونَ وَهُورٌ عِينٌ, and so forth. This is haqiqah, it's real. Those things will be real, but real for the Akhirah. In other words, they're not they're not necessarily figurative, but they are going to be real as far as the akhirah, the next life, is real. If we compare it to the things in this life, the things in this life will seem unreal, will seem not really real, they'll seem fake, or they'll seem paling in comparison. So that's why the akhir is the hayawan, as the Quran mentions, the real life, right? Life as it should be, right, in its complete and most perfect sense, is in the akhir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that, inshallah. Then the verse that I was talking about, I was alluding to, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord is sure to give you so much that you will be well pleased. Another interesting verse, because usually when we think about rida, when we think about contentment or to be pleased, it is us that is seeking the pleasure of God. We are the ones who are seeking His pleasure. We want Allah to be pleased with us. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet in this particular verse, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ, your Lord will give you, and then you will be pleased. فَتَرْضَى. Prophet will be pleased. There's a narration that when this verse was revealed, the Prophet said, أَنَا لَا أَرْضَى بِدْخُولِ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أُمَّتِي النَّارِ. Said, I will not be pleased except that every one of my ummah, my community, enters paradise and is not entered into hellfire. That's why some of them said, this is the most hopeful verse in the Quran, because if this is the way the Prophet ﷺ feels about us, he doesn't want a single one of us to enter into hellfire, and Allah says he will please him, then why would he do something that would displease him? And this is the magnanimity and the generosity of soul of our Prophet ﷺ. And in the very well-known hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to the Sahaba, he said, "Ishtaqtu ila ikhwani," I have longed for and I'm desirous to be with my brothers and sisters. Qalu ya Rasulullah lasna ikhwanak. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers?" He said, "La, bal antum ashabi." You are my ashab, you are my companions. إخواني يأتي من بعدكم. My إخوان ولم يروني. My إخوان will come after, my brothers and sisters will come after me, and they have not seen me. Those are the ones that I long for. This was the meaning of Ummah for the Prophet ﷺ. So in his sujood, when he's making dua for his Ummah, and when he's going to say Ummati, Ummati, in the Day of Judgment, he's talking about all of us, the ones that he's met and the ones that he has not met. So that's why ulama, they say the way to connection with the Prophet ﷺ, first and foremost, is a salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. Just like the angels were asked to have this prostration before Adam as a connection to him in some sense, and Iblis refused, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also informs us that Allah and the angels and the believers are to give salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. This is our connection to him. And so we should have a daily litany or wird, and whenever the Prophet ﷺ name is mentioned, we should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or alayhi salatu wassalam, or in any formula or siga that you desire, but we should not be stingy, as the Prophet ﷺ said. The stingy one is when my name is mentioned and they do not offer salawat on me, on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wala sawfi yu'tika rabbuka fatarda. And then the next three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about some of the blessings that have been given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Where did he not find you an orphan and shelter you? And we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away. His father passed away when he was still in the womb. Excuse me. Still in the womb of his mother, and that his mother passed away when he was very young, and then he went into the kafala. He went into the he was as an orphan, and he was cared for initially by his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, and then he passed away. And then when he was still quite young, maybe 8 years of age, he was then into the kafala, or the care of his uncle Abu Talib, who never actually, by most accounts, accepted Islam, but nevertheless defended him staunchly and was one of his most fervent supporters, even though he did not accept Islam. So they said there's a hikmah, there's a wisdom. Why was the Prophet an orphan? Why didn't he have family? Well, they said that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then can claim sort of sole protectorate and guardianship over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in Meccan society, in Arabian society at the time, to not have, you know, a father behind you was kind of a big deal. And we know this because it was the practice of the families in Mecca to send their children to the Badia, their infant children, to the countryside, as it were, to be nursed by a woman of the countryside, because it was thought a pure environment. And so the Prophet ﷺ, no one chose him, and everyone had left, because the women come from the countryside and they take the infants and leave. And then there was one woman who came late because her donkey was very slow. And this woman was known as Halima al-Sa'diyah. And this was the wet nurse of the Prophet ﷺ. And she became his nursing mother. And when she began to nurse him, she saw that the donkey was moving very quickly, faster, that she even surpassed her friends or colleagues on the way back. And also, there was enough milk in her breast for both her son and for the Prophet ﷺ. And her she-goat was milking more than she ever could have imagined. So all of these barakat came, but this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who alladhi takaffal bi. That's why it says, Alam bijidika yateeman fa'awa, and he gave you shelter. Wa wajadaka dhalan fahada, and find you lost and guide you. Here they said, qat'an laysa dhalal al-iman. Yeah, certainly it doesn't mean that dhal, in terms of the Prophet ﷺ, didn't know Allah. All of the prophets, even before the prophethood, were muwahidun, were monotheists, and none of them worshipped idols or anything like that. So dhal here means in terms of maybe the sharia, the ahkam, you know, the legal rulings, or being well acquainted with all of the blessings, or not being acquainted with your nubuwwah, with your prophethood, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed that to you via Jibreel in Ghar Hira. So all of these things then are Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was unaware of. Fahada, then he guided you to those things. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, and find you in need, and he satisfied your need. وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Some of the Mufassirun said, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi, even though he was from the most noble of families, the Bani Hashim, or the most noble of sub-tribes of Quraysh, he was not a wealthy man, and did not come into wealth, especially because he was an orphan. So they said that this Ighna came later when he worked as a businessman, more or less, and he entered into a business partnership with what was to be his future wife, Khadija, radiallahu anha. And this is a common misconception, that the Prophet ﷺ was an employee of Khadija, and there would be nothing wrong if he was, but that actually wasn't the case. He was in a business agreement partnership, something called as qirad, which means I invest my money in someone else's business. So basically she invested her wealth in the ability of the Prophet ﷺ to go and on these caravan route trades and bring back goods to be sold at market, and then she would have a share of those profits. And that's a common, even in the Islamic system, that's a common way of profit sharing. So he was more like profit sharing with Khadija radiallahu anha, then we can say that he was an employee, just as a point of reference. So, however, some of them said that's not really appropriate, because ghina is ghina nafs. So ghina means to be the richness or the self-sufficiency. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sufficient. He didn't need anybody. Right, he wasn't in need of people. The only one that he was in need of was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا in need فَأَغْنَى, right? أَغْنَاكَ بِاللَّهِ, right? إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى النَّفْسِ وَالْغِنَى بِاللَّهِ لَا بِغَيْرِهِ. So he became sufficient and need satisfied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then corresponding to those three blessings, the next three verses talk about three etiquettes that correspond to each of those blessings. So the first one, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. So as for the orphan, do not be harsh. with the orphan. Well, the Prophet ﷺ was an orphan. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ana wal yatim kahatayn. He said, me and the orphan are like these two, the two fingers. This is how close we are. Yawm al-qiyamah. That's how great the reward is for treating the orphan with care and making sure that their inheritance reaches them and taking care of them and making sure that nothing of ill will from others happens to them. This is the blessing of kafalat al-yatim. Right? Kafalat al-yatim, taking care of the orphan. Because he too was an orphan. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the next one. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for the sa'il, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. The sa'il, the one who is seeking and asking. There's two interpretations of what type of seeking and asking here. So either seeking actually financial resources, so someone who's in a state of need. And the Prophet ﷺ is told, أَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Do not chide or revile them. And Anas ibn Malik remarked that the Prophet ﷺ كان لا يرد سائلا وكان لا يكاد أن يقول لا. Prophet ﷺ would never reject a sa'il, someone who came with a need, whether it was financial or otherwise. And he almost never said no. And even when he was not in ability to help the people that were there, sometimes he would even put himself in personal debt in order to help them, as happened on at least one occasion. Umar ibn al-Khattab saw this and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lam yukallifka bithalik. He didn't, you know, burden you even to go into debt to help people. And these were Arab, right? These were desert Bedouins who were just kind of asking and asking. And then one of the Sahaba reportedly, Bilal, said, Ya infaka ya Rasulullah, wa la takhsha min dhil arshi iqlala. Ya Rasulullah, give and don't worry about from the one who is Sahib al-Arsh, the one who is the sovereign of the throne, iqlala, of not having enough. And then this is the Prophet, hadha ma arat, this is what I wanted to hear. So they even the mushrikeen have to admit, they said Muhammad gives and gives like he has unlimited supply. This was the generosity of the Prophet. So the ulama, they say that if you're encountered with such a thing, even to give a little bit, even if it's a filth, they said, even if it's like pennies or what we'd consider a lot amount. But the idea is that you get your nafs, your ego, accustomed to giving, right? And rather than withholding, to give it rather than withhold, to give of your time, to give of your wealth, to give of your soul. This is the generosity. And at the very least, do not chide them, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, right? And nahar means to revile them, to chide. Well, you're coming around asking again, what are you doing here? Didn't we just give you like zakat last week, brother? Hit the road. That would be reviling them. Do not revile them. Do not chide them. Even if you think that they may not be on the up and up, or maybe there's something going on there. But isrifhu bi khair, bi lutf, right? Even if you have to kind of assuage a situation, but it should be with ease. There's nothing that rifq enter in, as the hadith goes. ما كان رفق مع شيء إلا زانا وما كان العنف or مع شيء إلا شانا, something to that extent. الرفق is ease and gentleness. It's not accompanied with anything except it makes it زانا, it adorns it, right? You adorn the situation, you make it beautiful by having رفق, by having ease and gentleness. وأما العنف or ما هو ضد الرفق, the opposite of gentleness, like aggression or reviling, like here, illa shana, it blemishes it, right? It blemishes the whole thing. And so that corresponds on that opinion, that it's talking about financial resources, to the blessing of وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, right? So you were a'il, and in need, and then Allah sufficed you of your need. The other opinion is that it corresponds to sa'il al-ilm, talib al-ilm, the one seeking knowledge. So the one seeking knowledge, do not chide them, do not revile them, they're coming to seek knowledge. And in this case, then that corresponding verse would be وَأَمَّا بِنَعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Afwan, it would be وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Right, because of dalal, dal, is lack of guidance. So if someone is seeking guidance, give them guidance and do not chide them, do not revile them. And then the final verse, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the blessings of your Lord, فَحَدِّثْ. Right? حَدِّثْ can mean speak about them. And sometimes the ulama, they've even written books called هَذَا مِنْ بَابِ التَّحْدِيثِ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ. Right, if they say about something like, oh, this great thing happened to me, or I was able to overcome my passions and my my desires, and I was able to change my life. I say this out of speaking about blessings, not because I'm trying to be proud, or because I'm trying to, I am arrogant about it, but inshallah, with the intention of talking about blessings. But this one also should be understood that the safer thing, the more religiously scrupulous and appropriate thing is to keep one's blessings kind of to the chest, unless there's a situation where you are in a position where you are in a leadership position and you think that others will follow and will give them hope if you speak about this. But generally, even the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yastainu ala qada hawajikum bil kitman." Seek to fulfill your needs by being silent about them. Right. So be careful about who you talk to them about, who what you talk to them about. And hasad is real, you know, jealousy and envy and things like that. And even not just hasad, but kasr al khatir. So if you're sitting with someone who's not of means, and you're talking about the latest three vacations that you did, one to Europe and one to Africa and one to Australia, and you know, all the great mashayikh and ulama that you met, and you know, they gave you their sibha, and you're talking, going on and on, and you said, and then you have people there who have no reference for that. It's kasr al khatir, right? It's you're kind of breaking their heart. So it should be done judiciously and in a manner that, and generally we kind of reserve that for the ulama. And so talking about the blessings then, corresponding to وَوَجَدَكَ ضَلًا فَهَدَى. Right? So I can overcome some of my difficulties, and now I find myself in a place of guidance. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So barakallahu fikum for Qur'an al-Azim. It's been an honor and a pleasure to spend this Ramadan with many of you who decided to join in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and forgive me, and for any mistakes that are entirely my own, and in any things I've said wrong, please forgive me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. هذا جهد المقل, someone just trying to do a little bit, and hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for our transgression, even doing this to begin with. I didn't do so before I sought counsel from my teachers and my shuh. So that's why we're here. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the rest of Ramadan that's blessed. And may He give us life and fortitude to see the next Ramadan. And hopefully the next Ramadan, we will do it in our masajid, and we'll do it in our mosque, and we'll even be more appreciative of the many, many blessings. And it seems appropriate that we end with a chapter of the Quran that talks about blessings. You know, despite all the things that we see around us and the difficulties, and many of us are undergoing great difficulties with some of us have gotten the COVID disease, and we've lost loved ones to the COVID disease, and some people are out of work as a result, or there's loss of profits and there's loss of income. These are all things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said would happen to us, and we'd be tested in this way. So I'm optimistic that on the other side of this pandemic, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be in a much, much better state. And anything, as we've said many times before, anything ma yajma'ana ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fahiya ni'ma. Anything that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing. So make this situation a blessing by letting it avail yourself of being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so inshallah, some of you have asked about what happens after Ramadan. We have an intention to continue programming. I don't know if it's going to be every day, to be honest with you, but at least probably once or twice a week, there'll be something going on with it, via Zoom or YouTube or something like that. So if you go to the Sabil Community Facebook page or the Sabil Community website or the YouTube channel, then that information will be forthcoming. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لكم التوفيق والسداد وأن يلهمنا الرشد وأن يبلغنا مقاصدنا إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أختم لنا بأسرار سورة الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.